Dashboard Effect Podcast. I'm Brick Thompson.
And I'm Caleb Oakes.
Caleb, for this episode, we just wanted to continue defining terms that we use all the time in this podcast that a lot of our listeners will know about, but some may not. And we think it'll be useful to them.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. I probably should have done this when we were talking about relationships, but what's a foreign key?
Mm-hmm. So a foreign key, as we were talking about our transaction table with a customer, the customer ID that's on the transaction table would be referred to as a foreign key because it's referencing another table's primary key, which we'll get to in a second. But that's the key is like, that's the key. That's the main thing is that it's a foreign key referencing another table's primary key.
So when you have another table's primary key in your table, that is a foreign key by definition.
A foreign key. Yes,
all right.
Exactly.
What's a primary key?
So a primary key would be the primary identifier of a row on a table. So customer ID, for example, would indicate a distinct and unique customer, distinct and unique customer row. So, you know, you'd have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Those would be your primary keys. They are never duplicated in that table. So you'd only have one customer row with a customer ID of one. And then you might have many customer ID rows in your fact table with
foreign keys back.
Yep.
And you can repeat those, but it's going to that same customer. Mm-hmm. So if the customer's spelling of their name changes, you only change it once. Mm-hmm. And then everything that's referring to that primary key with a foreign key in another table gets that new spelling.
Exactly.
Okay. Great. Whew.
I know. Yeah. Right. Starting to sweat.
So what is a data lake?
All right. Data lake. So data lake, best way to think of a data lake is it's a storage area of more or less files, right?
Yep.
And that could be any type of files, but it's just a place that those files are contained.
Yep.
Stored.
So when I first heard the term data lake, it sounded very mysterious. When you look at the GUI, the way you interact with it, it's sort of like looking at a file and folder structure.
Right.
It's not that complicated. It's interesting because you can just shove all kinds of data into it. And then it has a lot of functionality that, a file store, a SharePoint document library wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And there's a special kind of file that goes in those called Parquet files. Mm-hmm. And so what's a Parquet file?
Parquet file is essentially just a data file that is optimized for storing and retrieving data.
And it's sort of like an XML type file.
I mean,
it's not XML.
Not really like – yeah, kind of. I mean
you're tagging.
It's like obfuscated. I don't know. It's like – I don't know. It's a proprietary file format.
Got it. All right. So then what is a Delta Parquet file?
Yeah. So basically the same thing.
I'm going to stump you eventually.
It's essentially the same thing, only it has some special ways of tracking changes to the file. And this is all done by Apache or Delta. Delta.io is who maintains Delta. And it's essentially, the way that you would do it, or the way that we do it, is you have a Parquet file, and then you merge it into your Delta file. So it will pick up changes and put it into the Delta file. So what that enables you to do is say, here are my new and changed records in my Parquet. Add that to my Delta file. So it's an easy way of like maintaining a full set of data without having to rewrite it every time. But you can add to it easily.
Right. So you don't have to rewrite the whole file. Mm-hmm. You just write the changes and then it's code in a system that keeps track of that for you.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's sort of like our old, what we would call type 2 data. We said we weren't going to define that, but where you could go back to any change, any point in time and sort of see what the data was at that point if you wanted to.
Delta does enable you to do that, yeah.
Yeah. You can think of it like I'm not a Mac user, but Time Machine type thing.
Yeah.
Where you just go back and see how a file was. All right. So we talked about data lake and a Delta file and data lakes. What's a data lake house? I have a theory.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let me give it a shot. So the lake house would be, man, I almost think, in my opinion, let's just talk this one out. Cause in my opinion, a lake house is basically your data lake plus your semantic model.
That's what I was going to say.
Genius.
I hope we're right about that.
That's probably right.
I hope so. We'll see. There's probably some missing twist in there, but I think that's the simplest way to think about it.
Yeah.
You got a data lake that's a bunch of data, whatever it is, and as soon as you put that semantic layer, which is sort of like a bunch of views to simplify accessing the data in the data lake, now you've got a data lake house.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. All right. There's a term we use, or don't use it as much anymore, but used a lot still, ETL.
ETL. So the ETL stands for extract, transform, and load. So this is now at this point where things are. This is kind of an outdated term. But essentially the way that old pipelines, old ways of like doing that denormalization that we were talking about would go through that process. So you'd extract the data, you would transform it, and then you would load it to like a landing place as it's transformed. So as you've kind of denormalized stuff, maybe did some cleansing on it, it would essentially end up in your, loaded final semantic layer.
Yeah. Okay.
As static tables.
So you can think of it as like an extraction from the transactional database, like your point of sale terminal or whatever, then transforms. They're doing denormalization and cleanup and then loading the result of the transforms into your reporting database.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Essentially or data warehouse
or data lake or whatever.
Data lake. Yeah. Wherever.
Okay. Good. So then, in the last 2-3 years, people started referring to that as ELT instead. Why? Mm-hmm.
So the transform step obviously is what changed, right? So the T used to be in the middle. Now it's at the end. The reason why is because of data lakes and these serverless views and essentially being able to query things like Delta and Parquet files quickly without having to load them again into another table. So you would do your transform after you've loaded. So you'd pull your data from your sales database. You'd load it into something like a data lake, just the way it is.
Right.
And then you would do the transforms at the end as you load it to something like Power BI.
And as you need them.
Mm-hmm. As you need them, right?
Sort of a brilliance there because we used to spend a lot of time on the ETL, getting the transforms just right based on business requirements for reporting. And what we've learned is just get all the data into the lake and then you can do those transforms as needed. You can be a lot more agile. You can iterate a lot more easily. We don't even really refer to it as ELT. We refer to it as data pipelines, which we'll talk about in a minute, but, it's a much better way to do it.
Yep. Right.
Okay. What's a data pipeline?
Data pipeline is how that data that we just talked about that you pull from your sales database into like a data lake. How that moves, right? So it enables you to say, okay, this is my source and I'm going to put in all the credentials and stuff so I can get data out of this source and then run queries against that source to pull data out through your pipeline and then load it into a destination like a data lake.
Perfect.
That would be referred to as a
pipeline. Sort of the generic term. But there's various tools you can use for that.
Yep.
And so I think we do most of our work in Python, PySpark, I think, for building our pipelines these days.
Synapse,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But you can use – there's third-party tools, Fivetran or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of different data pipelines or data tools that you can build data pipelines with.
Right.
And for me, the term data pipeline implies – and it doesn't have to, but in my head, I always think of it as, okay, it's a setup extraction load system that's going to run on a schedule – and has some kind of robustness, so it'll fail gracefully and alert people and so on. So it's a system for keeping the data in the reporting database or data store or data lake always fresh or someone knows it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Actually, I just mentioned Python and PySpark. What is Python?
Yeah. So Python is a snake. It's also
problem code. Living in Florida.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's also just code, that you can run, in different environments. Language. Programming language. Yeah.
All right. But then you'll hear PySpark. Mm-hmm. What's that?
That's Python that's run on a Spark pool.
Yeah.
A Spark pool is basically just a bunch of RAM, typically in the cloud, that will run your code. It's optimized for loading a bunch of data into it and then doing transactions against it or cleansing it or joins or that type of thing.
And there's various libraries that are sort of purpose-built to make that easier.
Right, right. So you would use Python to actually make Spark do things against your data.
Yeah. Okay. PySpark. And it scales really well up and down and all sorts of stuff. Okay. What is a visualization?
Good question.
We say it all the time.
Yeah. A visualization would be data represented in a visual way. So like a bar chart or a column chart, or it could even be a table of data. That's what we mean when we say visualization. Yep.
Okay. So what's a visualization tool?
It'd be like Power BI, Tableau, Looker, something like that.
Yeah, a program that you can build visualizations with or that will present visualizations.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we'll just go ahead and wrap up here. That's the list of terms and definitions we could think of that we thought might be useful, things that we talk about in our podcasts all the time. If we come up with another list at some time, we might do another one of these, but we'll sign off here for now.
Yeah, sounds good.
Oh,
that was a lot.
Oh, yeah. Like and subscribe.
Yeah, do that.